Ready? We'll be in chapter 12 of the Revelation. I'll read it first. Verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to be devoured, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place any more found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman there was given 2 wings of a great eagle, where she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and a half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now we go back and see what it says, because it's good stuff. It's our experience, and I'll give you that, and then we'll break it down. What this is telling you is the steps that you go through in your life and how and when you overcome. When you become that full-grown son, we are son of God. That's what it's telling you. You'll know when, because he's telling you. There's signs given. It's telling you things. All this is telling you how you're going to proceed into the kingdom, the overcoming sons. So I'll just say that to preface it, and now we'll go back and look at it.
Signs of your maturity.
As you mature, he's giving you signs to know where you can locate yourself. You can spot yourself. Okay? And there appeared a great wonder. It should be the word sign. There's a great sign where? Where was the great sign? In the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, which is within you. Okay? A woman clothed with the sun. What's the woman?
True soul.
It could be your soul, it could be the church, but here I think we're really talking about basically the same thing, but the bride. Okay? The bride of Christ. And she was clothed with the sun. That makes her what? The bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. Is it the S-U-N or the S-O-N? Mm-hmm. Yes. And the moon was under her feet. What's the moon?
Reflection.
It's only a reflection. It's not a reality, is it? That's the church realm. Okay? That she's got under her feet. That means she's came above the realm of the church and knows who she is as a person, as each individual. Not just, we belong to a church. No, you know who you are. You are part of the church. the church. Okay? Because the church is not this man-made thing that they call church. But the moon was under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. What do the 12 stars speak of?
It's the government of God,
but that's the mind of God. The government of God is the mind of God.
The experiences.
It's all the same thing. See, the government is the mind of God. What people do, the overcoming sons of God do, is the mind of God. It's His thoughts, isn't it? His ways and our ways have to come together. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, look what it says here. And she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I wrote a little note here. It says, intimacy with Christ produces the Son in you. Correct? Mm-hmm. When the woman's intimate with the man, it produces the Son. Okay?
Didn't say that there was an outward marriage.
No. But guess what happened? There was a lot of pain in that birth. Right? She wasn't just saying, oh, I'm hurting. She was screaming. Yeah. Childbirth is not an easy thing. There's a lot of pain to be felt, a lot of changes. And verse 3, we go on. It says, and there appeared another wonder. A supernatural. These are supernatural signs. These are signs from God. Okay, so when these says these wonders, it's supernatural signs. In where? In the realm of the spirit. Okay. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, and that speaks of the completeness. That seven, that fullness of something, and 10 horns. Now. What would that be that carried? What would be carrying the 10? The 10 horns. 10 authorities, the 10 laws. See, they were living under the law. This red dragon is Adam. What color was Adam's name mean?
Red
in the face. So it just ties it right back to Adam. So this is the complete Adam. He had the law in his mind, and he had seven crowns upon his head, right? He had the rulership in his head. So he thought that his mind was what it was all about. Remember the six I wills in Isaiah? I will, I will, I will, I will. I'll set up the sides of the north. I'll be like the Most High God. That's what this is speaking of, the natural man. And it said, well, this natural man, this red dragon, what we're talking about, his tail drew a third part of the stars of the realm of the spirit and cast them to the earth. Now, what's the tale?
False prophet.
Okay, in Isaiah 9:15 it said, the ancient and the honorable is the head, and the prophet that teaches and tells lies, he is the tail. Now, that's the preachers today, just like it was back then. They would prophesy anything for enough money. Same thing they're doing today. We just saw something, Lord showed me something. The richest man in the religious realm today is Kenneth Copeland. He's worth $750 million. He's getting close to being a billionaire as a preacher. What's he need all that money for? And people suffering, and he's taking that money and living lavishly? Really? That's godly, isn't it? But anyway, this tail drew a third part of the stars. What's a star?
It's overcoming.
No, it's a sea. Well, yeah, but it's good. Trace it all the way back to its beginning, its inception in Genesis 15. It's the seed of Abraham. Yeah. Remember when Joseph had the dream?
Mm-hmm.
And he told the dream to his brothers? And he said,
yeah.
This dream I had, there was 11 stars, the sun and the moon, and 11 stars bowed to me. And his brothers, his father interpreted it rather, and said, shall I and your mother and your brothers bow to you? You're just a little fella, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was 10 brothers at the time. But he was prophetically telling him he had another brother coming.
Joseph wasn't born yet.
Well, Benjamin wasn't born.
Joseph was the one that was.
Yeah. He said, shall we all bow to the youngest one in the family? Because their tradition, see, is the oldest one in. They got seniority.
Same way it was with David.
Yeah, same way as with the church. See, everybody thinks the first one in is the one with seniority, but God don't work by seniority. He chooses this of his own. He chose it before the foundation of the world, and then he'll come on through when he's ready for you. It's not up to you. Okay. And he cast them, he took the stars out of the realm of the spirit, right, out of heaven, and cast them to the earth. So he took their thinking process. He didn't literally take them up out of the sky and throw them down on the ground. He would have killed them, see. We're not talking about that. He took them out of the thinking process of the mind of Christ and put them back into the earthly thinking of Adam, right back into the realm of that red dragon. Okay? Which, and the dragon stood before, or what's the word? In the presence of the woman, the one which was ready to be delivered, to devour, okay? Literally, the timing is not until the child is birthed, and then the stuff happens, okay? Not until the child is birthed is he ready there. But he doesn't show his hand until that man-child is ready to be birthed. As long as you're in the world doing your thing, thinking just like the rest of the world, that thing ain't got nothing to bother you with, has he? Only until you understand that now God has a hold of me, now the opposition comes. Because when you're already on his side, playing on his team, why would he fight you? Until you cross the other side of the line, now there's opposition. And that's what he's telling us. And she brought forth a man child, a male child. And that word is weos, a mature son. She brought forth a mature son who was intended. The word was isn't complete. It should be, he was intended to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's unyielding, no compromise, okay? And her child, and there the word there is technon, was caught up to God and to his throne, okay? So what's he trying to tell us? That this son has a destiny. And when you find out that God has called you and separated you from the rest of this man-made religiosity out here, you know you have a destiny. Do you understand it?
No.
But you're going because he said so. Say he's calling you in that direction. You just follow wherever the lamb goes, that's where you go. You don't have to know everything. When it's time, he'll tell you what you need. If he give you too much information too soon, you'd probably try to alter it. No doubt. I would. I know I would. Being ignorant, you would try to defend yourself any way you can, wouldn't you?
That's saying that you're God and you're more powerful than he is.
Yep. But the child was caught up to God and to his throne. I see divine protection in that. As soon as this son is born, you know, as soon as this son is brought forth, immediately there's divine protection on this child.
He brooded over him in the beginning.
Right? And didn't Jesus say, it's not yet my time? It's not. Multiple times he said, it's not yet my time. You can't get me. It's not yet my time. Divine protection for the seed that he has to do certain things. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. If God's got a call in your life, you can't change that. Neither can anybody else. Nobody can take you out earlier than what God wants you to go. When you get finished with your goal in life that God has for you, that purpose he has set you forth for, once you've accomplished that,
you graduate.
You're graduated. You can go on.
Seeing that. Right here, we need to learn to sit and wait.
Absolutely.
On God, not try to get up and be anxious to do.
They that wait upon the Lord shall what?
Renew their strength.
Ha ha. Now wait, he didn't say you'd get strength.
Renew it.
I mean, you had it from the very beginning, but you didn't know you had it.
You remember
it. You're going to remember what you already had. Okay. So you do have to wait upon God. We don't run out ahead of him and try to think we know everything. Just wait. He'll get you there. You don't have to worry about timing because God's got the best alarm clock in the world. He can wake you up whenever he's ready. He'll get you there on time. You don't have to worry about those things. See, that's the peace of God that he's talking about that surpasses all understanding, that the church word says those words, but they have no idea what it is, because the first piece of turmoil that hits in their life, they all fall apart. See? Nothing to worry about. Nothing. See? That's why when this cancer hit me, I'm not concerned, because it can't take me out. It's not yet my time. I know that.
And when it is, then there's nothing to
do. There's nothing to worry about. See, it doesn't make any difference. It, just like with you, all the things that's going on with you. It can't do anything until it's his time.
And stuff that I don't understand mm-hmm. what's going on. And
sure.
Doctors can't find.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said his.
Sure it is.
Divine, you know what I mean?
He's doing things to get your attention. Sooner or later, you're going to catch on one of
I can't rely on no one but him.
There you go. Isn't that what he wants?
I can't rely on some this, that, no. Nothing. I just have to rely on him.
That's all you got to do.
You don't have to worry about anything or anyone. Just rely on God. It's cool.
I don't have to do nothing.
There you go.
Except what he wants.
Obedience is all he asks for.
And then whenever he says it, I got to do it no matter what.
That's it. You can't deny him.
No.
Verse 6, it goes on and says, the woman fled into the wilderness. What is the wilderness?
When all hell breaks loose.
Well, we know that. We didn't say what the result of it was. What? It's a place of loneliness. You're deserted. You're ostracized. Anybody ever hear any of that?
The desert place where lack of water.
Well, it's not necessarily. There's always an oasis out there. There's what's the name of the little town where they went into?
Elam.
Elam. See, there's always an Elam in God's traveling. So it's not all about just being without water, because the word is within you. See, the water's in there.
Find it.
She's on her own while she's going through this.
Yeah, she is. She's very lonely. And what it is, she's brought forth her performance. She's done what she had to do. Mm-hmm. She's done now.
She put the fruit out.
Yeah, she brought forth the fruit.
The water is in the spirit.
Well, that's what I said. The word's already here. You've got your water in you.
I'm seeing something out in the desert, the worldly realm, there is no water. It's just
in the spirit, it is.
Some Elam, oasis and stuff inside of you. That's where the water's at.
But the water's right there.
Yes.
It's right there.
If you think of, I was thinking about when Hagar was put in the wilderness and they kept coming to try to keep her alive by bringing food to feed her and her son.
Uh-huh.
You can't keep it alive out there.
Nope. It's got to go where it's supposed to go.
Okay.
So where she had a place prepared of God. Whoa. Her place prepared was in the wilderness. If that's where God wants you, guess what? That's the best place to be.
And that's his bride.
Well, we all have our day in there, see? But in that travel through the desert, there's always an Elam to refresh a little bit, but you got to go on. And you can't stay there. That's the thing. It's just a refreshing.
Yeah.
That in order that they, who is the they here? See, it was a him.
It's a sons.
Yes, but now it's a they. Okay.
That's what I know.
She brought forth, the woman brought forth a son, but now it's they, it's plural.
He's bringing forth, seed bringing forth.
Yeah. So the sons of God are the ones that are going to feed the woman. They should feed her there 1,203 score days, which is 3.5 years, again, that time of ministry. So the whole time of ministry, the woman's going to be taken care of. Okay? Don't worry about that. But the son is what it's all about. The fruit. See, it's not about the fruit tree. It's about the fruit coming off the tree, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And now it goes in and says, there was war in heaven.
In your mind,
you better believe it. There's a war in the realm of the spirit. Michael is one who is like God, what it means, and his angels or messages See, Michael, the one like God. Who is the one like God? The Christ. See, the Christ in you. And his messages fought against the dragon, the carnal mind, and his and the dragon fought and his messages. So which one of them, is it the ego or the mind of Christ? Which one's going to win that battle? But see, there's a battle. And as long as we are rooted to the earth, and as we said here a while ago, woe to them that live upon the earth permanently is what it says in the language. But whenever you're rooted in the earth in the Passover Pentecostal experiences and not moving on down the line to the tabernacles, if you're not going on down, you've got problems in the earth. Because there's where the losing battle is. And it says, and prevailed not. That this dragon and his messengers prevailed not. Neither was there found any place any more in the realm of the spirit. And the great red dragon was cast out. That old serpent, and that red dragon really isn't a creature. It really isn't your brain, but it's the thought processes in your brain. In the natural mind. It's a carnal mind.
Fleshly thought process.
It's a fleshly thought process, not flesh, just fleshly thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that old serpent, the original serpent, it should say, where it says old, it should be original. The original serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole?
The whole world.
Huh. That means everybody was lying. And didn't it say in another passage, the whole world lies in deception? It's not talking about that earth out there. It's talking about all the people on the earth is in deception. See, you can't deceive dirt out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deceive trees and rocks and all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the thinking process. And he was cast out into what? Into the earth, into people. Okay? Cast out into the earth, into people. And his messages were cast out with him. So guess what he's doing? He's pushing his messages. Okay? And I heard a loud voice saying in the realm of the spirit, now is come what?
Deliverance.
Deliverance. See, when you realize that that thing has been cast down into the earth, it's no longer in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. And see, we're talking about in our own mind. He's cast down from the upper position to the lower position in our minds. It's not about out there on the earth. It's inside of you and me. We have to know that now. When is now?
Now.
Right now.
Present.
It's not going to be someday when I die and fly. It's now. Right now. I can be free of this whole thing. And if I'm free from it, guess what I am?
Peace.
I am free and I'm at peace the rest of my life, the rest of my days on the earth. Don't have to worry about nothing else. Man. You know what? And you can tell this, you could get on the tops of every church building in this country. You couldn't convince anybody to believe what I just told you.
Yeah.
See, you have to see it yourself. You have to realize, my God, it's true. I am free. I don't have to be bound by this. He died to set you free. Why in the world would I ever want to go back and be chained up to some organization that man came up with? They think they're smarter than God, but I got an idea. They're not.
So you're going from the... You either got the Passover or Pentecost thinking.
Yep.
Or the fleshly thinking, or you got the tabernacle.
And Passover and Pentecost are not bad. They're just incomplete.
They're stepping stones.
They're just, stepping stones. They're just incomplete. And you start at one, step to the next one, step to the next one. That's all.
Incomplete.
Same thing. They're just incomplete.
Thank you.
Yep. And he said, but now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. You realize what all comes with this idea of understanding you're free?
You just crucified the flesh.
The flesh is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he said in Romans, I think 6, he said, when he died, you died with him. when he was buried, you were buried, not with him, but in him. It should be, you were crucified in him, you were buried in him, and you were resurrected in him. See, it's a done deal. That's why we can already say it's now, right now. Don't have to wait to die to get something to happen. It can happen right now in your thinking process. Comes to the place where you understand, oh my God.
Well, it's actually happened. You've just become
aware of it.
Aware or awakened to it.
On John 14:26, he said, I'm going to go away and send you another comforter. He'll call all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. Mm-hmm. So whatever he told us, it's already a done deal. We just have to realize it's a done deal. That's all. And look what he says here. And this is what happened, he said. Now, he said, this is what you get, deliverance and strength and kingdom, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Because the accuser of our brethren is presently cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser's gone. He's already been put down into the dust realm. He can no longer climb back into the heavenlies, can he? They can't get back into the realm of the Spirit. Now, look at this verse 11. And they, who's the they again?
Sons.
That's that male man-child that was brought forth in you, along with the other man-child. And they overcame him, okay, that's that accuser, through the blood of the Lamb, and through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.
No, he isn't. May I ask you, Tom?
Okay. They loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, verse 12, therefore rejoice, or through this thing, through what happened up here, when you come to this revelation of all this stuff happening about the accuser being cast down and me being free. Now, through all these things we've just went through, he says, now, therefore, rejoice. Through this thing, rejoice. Or begin to what? Okay. What should it do? It said rejoice. And what it's really, I'm trying to read my writing. My glasses aren't real clear. So therefore, or through this thing, it will bring great joy to your mind.
It's because you're free.
Absolutely.
You're cleared.
That's the whole thing here. We're saying, hey, we're free. If we're free, then what are we bound to?
Nothing.
What do you got to do to please your Father?
Nothing.
He loves you. He already does. He always has. You just didn't know it. Until you come to these revelations, nothing means nothing until you come to this fact. I've said it for years. I never loved my wife until God loved me. And when I realized God truly loved me as an individual, then I could love me. And when I realized that, I could love my wife. Pure and simple. It's impossible to do until the love of God is in you and you know it. You can't give it away. And we try to, we say we do, but it really comes when we know that. Then you don't have any choice, because God is what?
It's love.
If he's love, he can't be a torturer or a tormentor. Mm-hmm. Can't be. Don't work that way. And in this thing here, in that verse 11, where it said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loving not their life unto death. And I see those three realms as Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Okay? The Passover was the blood of the Lamb. Is that not true? The blood of the Lamb was there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Pentecost became the Word. And then Tabernacles, and that's along with the dust, sand, and star covenants out of Abraham.
There's actually three trimesters
in a birth.
Or in a pregnancy.
Yeah. So guess what? So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's three things that'll bring you through that. It's just said so many different ways. Okay?
So this is a birthing process.
Yes.
The 3 days.
And that's what I said. This is all about telling you how, when, and why you're coming through what you're coming through. That's what this chapter is about. It's exposing your growth process and letting you be able to see. And see, someone else can come up and say, well, you act like you've changed a good bit. But really, you're the first one that sees it. You're the one that... It don't do any good for someone else to see it. You need to see it yourself, don't you? Mm-hmm. When you see it, who can take it away from you?
Nobody.
There you go. Because if somebody said, I can see growth in you, and the next come by and said, well, you don't look like you've changed a bit in the last 5 years.
Get away from me, Satan.
But I'm saying that negative thought comes back and whoops you right back down again. But when you know it, there is nothing that can take it away from you. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's yours. No one can take your peace. Only you can give it up.
Yeah. When you've actually went through it and experienced it and went through
That's what I'm saying. The
hard knocks and realized that hard knock stuff don't mean nothing.
That stuff didn't mean nothing after all.
What it produced is you get to keep that. Yeah. You know what I mean? All this hard stuff was just... Don't remember the heart going through hard stuff. Remember what lessons it taught you.
Well, verse 12 again, where it says, therefore, through this thing, it brings a good frame of mind. It says, you heavens. Who do you think you're talking about? Heavens and you that dwell in them. He's talking about the first fruit again, isn't he? In that star covenant. Tabernacles. He says, heaven and you that dwell in them, you should be. Let me say it another way. This is another version of it. Be in a good frame of mind, you that dwell in the heavens or in the spirit realm. You be in a good frame of mind that dwell in the spirit realm. Right? Mm-hmm. And look what the next word is.
Pain, grief, and suffering.
To the inhabitants of the earth. Now that word inhabitants literally says in the Greek language, permanent inhabitants. So people that don't want to come out of the dust and sand, they think they've got it going on right where they're at. And of the sea. What's the sea speak of? Pentecost. No, with the sea comes sand. Okay? It's talking about the first two covenants again.
One, two...
So the inhabitants of the earth is the dust and the sand. Because the what? The accuser, lying in the head, is come down to you having great what? Passion. Great passion. Because he knows that he has a short time. See? He knows he's already been kicked out, so there ain't nothing he can do but torment what's left, somebody else. It ain't going to work on you, is it? You know who you are now. You can't be tormented any longer. And when the dragon saw, guess what that word should say? When the dragon knew that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. When Jesus was walking on the earth and he was out in the desert through the temptations, it said the devil departed him for a season. So that meant he came back and started tormenting him again once he was being refreshed. So we're going to have times of refreshing. There's that Edom in the desert. You know, we're going to have times of it and testing. It's going to be a process. And just because we realize we've become, not become, but we realize we've remembered who we really are, we're truly sons of God. But guess what? That doesn't mean the testing's over.
No, because we still...
Didn't Jesus go through it?
We have to carry the flesh till the end.
Till the end. Didn't Jesus get tormented all the time he was here? He was never at total... He was at peace, but there were still people trying to torment him all the time, accusing him of something constantly. So did all the prophets. And he's trying to tell you, just because you've come to and realized who you are doesn't mean you're going to have a cakewalk the rest of your life. But what you do have this, you have the power to overcome everything that the world has to offer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to worry about it. They can throw at you all day long, but they can't do anything about it. Well, they can't change what God's got for your life.
No, it's accusing Jesus and stuff, and they're trying to get him to say something. Right? It's like, that's what you say.
As long as you speak truth, someone's going to torment you. Someone's going to be aggravating you, picking at you, trying to get you to say something wrong, to show something, to trip you up, to act like something other than the son you are.
Well, that's just like leveling, trying to make it, better than me.
Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil lifestyles corrupt good lifestyles. See, they're trying to do that. That's all they're trying to do, drag you in the gutter with them. Just laugh at them and go on.
Yeah. Evil communications corrupts good lifestyle.
Yep. Okay, verse 14. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. What do you think that is?
She can rise above.
Well, I see it. And you may see it a little different. I see it as divine protection. Mm-hmm. Wings on a bird protect them. I mean, they're a mode of transportation. But do you ever see a bird in bad weather? Put them wings, a lot of times they'll put their head under their wing. It's like a form of protection from the elements and from the weather of the world, you know.
Yeah.
So I see it as a type of protection that she was given and a mode of transportation where she, and cross out that word might because it's not there, that she fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, a times and a half time from the face of the serpent. That's the time of ministry, away from the presence or the identity of the serpent or the mind of humanity.
Like what Lloyd said, and that's what I'm seeing too.
Go ahead.
You're given a gift or a tool to rise above the situation.
They can protect themselves, or they can just fly above.
But like I said, she was given that for one thing, and then it says that she might fly to the place where she's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's her mode of transportation.
You don't have to stay wallowing.
You can't stay. You don't have to stay in the dust realm. Yeah. You can rise above it.
And when you fly up to your place in the wilderness, and wilderness is not a bad place all the time.
I kind of like it there.
Nobody aggravates you there.
Yeah, you can kind of get away from all that.
Yeah.
That nasty.
Yeah, you can look at it in the negative, or you can look at it in the positive.
Look down and say, thank God that's down there.
It's quiet here, and I can think.
But anyway... And she was there for 3.5 years from the identity or the presence or the influence of the mind of humanity. She's out of it. Just like the times of refreshing that Jesus had. Right?
Yeah.
It's the time of refreshing.
Okay.
And verse 15 goes on and says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, in order that he, cross out that might, because he might call it that he calls her to be carried away or overwhelmed by the flood. Now this water out of the serpent's mouth, what do you reckon that is?
It's
words or thoughts of deception, you know, that he's attacking, trying to get you overwhelmed by it where you just
if you
confused.
Be the son of God.
Yeah. Cast him. Turn them rocks into bread because you're hungry. You know, do these different things. You know, he don't have to prove himself to you, and you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. The only one you have to prove yourself to is you.
Yep.
That's it. God already knows where you're at and knows what your potential is and knows what you're going to reach to. And you know what? The rest of them don't make any difference, do they?
Yep. Might upset them a little bit, but
who cares? What's that one
verse? It is what it is.
Yeah. Where it says, can't pull it out.
What's it?
Oh, it says, if God be for you,
who could be against you?
Who cares? God is for you, who cares who's against
that's
you?
That's at the end of Romans 8.
Yeah.
That's at the end of Romans 8.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference. anyway, he throws out this big flood of stuff in the mind, trying to get her to be overwhelmed by this flood of thoughts and words, you know, that she's a failure or whatever. And verse 16 says, "And the earth helped the woman." See? The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth again. Right? Its mouth is what it should say. "And swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." So the earth has sucked up that water.
Now, what is the earth here?
Flesh. We're not talking about the actual earth, are we?
Yeah, I know that.
It's just talking about the flesh. So the flesh just sucked up all them words, but it didn't do anything to it. It's just like a sponge. Suck it up. Didn't do anything. Wow. Didn't go where it was intended to go.
Would that still be saying that there was still some compassion there?
It's just in the flesh.
No, but that's what I'm saying. There's still some fleshly...
Well, it's you, see? It's you. It's us. As an individual. We'll suck up and take some of that overwhelming word, but it ain't gonna bother your spirit.
Because you've already come to the place.
You already come to the place. You know who you are. You cannot lose that. You can't give it up. You know, it's there. So this other stuff comes. Your flesh just absorbs the blow. You know, what Dean Martin say? I did it my way. That song.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Okay. Well, one of them guys.
What? Yeah.
That's not scriptural part. That's just an analogy.
That's right. Elvis Presley.
No.
Whoever.
Anyway, he said he did it my way. I took the blow and I did it my way. You know. And that's what we're talking about. The body is going to absorb these blows from the carnal mind and not going to listen to them.
So is that my fleshly part is subdued to my Christ?
Yes, it's a servant to your Christ.
And it's absorbing it and it's helping.
Right.
Is that kind of what it's pointing to?
Yeah.
That earth would be kind of like my fleshly...
Your flesh will absorb that stuff.
My fleshly thinking is just absorbing it. It don't matter.
Let's just make it this way.
It's
like
when your dragon tries to...
Like your liver, it takes and filters everything through and just flushes it out through your kidneys.
So my liver's working just fine.
It's working just fine. And it says, and the dragon was what?
Enraged.
Yeah, he was enraged with the woman and went to make war, not with, but the word with is meta, which means in the midst of the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the what?
And the word of Christ.
The word testimony right there literally is a martyria, and it literally means the evidence given. Okay? Evidence given of Jesus Christ. And then I wrote this. If you look at my Bible, see this little pink strip across here?
Yeah.
You know what it says in that little pink strip?
No.
Could you be proven guilty of being of the Christ? Could you be proven guilty with the evidence you have to give? That's just a motivation. That's not condemnation. It's a motivation. See, most people can't do that.
As long as you don't have a church judging you, absolutely.
Well, they can judge all they want to with me. I don't care.
There's the dragon again.
Yeah. But that's the dragon again. See, caring about what someone else says. What somebody else says is none of my business. What they think about me is none of my business. I know what God thinks about me. What's God think about you?
Well, I'm just perfect.
There you go. If you believe that and live that, you know, how could anybody hurt you?
I don't know how I could movie tickets. Yeah. In my pocket. They're
Martians.
We're aliens.
Thinking that. Well, he's different. You're really different.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Know, I mean, they're slandering this stuff, and you're not reacting to it. And it, to them, that's they don't understand.
I'm not like you. And that's what the thing is they don't understand is because you're not like them, they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, and I've lived in this book for a lot of years. But to understand the way I understand now is just, I'm blown away by it. I still am. Yeah. Why do I get to see it? Because he chose, I know that, but it's still amazing. It's amazing that I can see the things that people that think they're great men and women of God have no clue what they're talking about. They're still talking about the natural realm of everything going on in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny when you look at some of the stuff they're coming up with. You thinking, oh my Lord, but you got to realize how great that should at the same time make you, how grateful you are that you can actually hear the truth, and you don't, you're not wrapped up in that crazy.
Nope.
Because it's very easily, we could have not, God not gave us the spiritual ears to hear it. And we were in the same, be in the same boat.
It's truly a gift. That's all it is. It's a gift. I didn't learn it. I wouldn't have.